Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into Devoted Today. Today, I wanted to share some prophetic things. I'm just going to really flow with certain things that God has been talking to me this week. It's March 24th, 2024. I believe that this could be a really great day to get married because 3/24/24 is like a good anniversary to remember, because you know, mostly men don't remember the anniversaries as much as women we do. But I was thinking today is like a great day to make something profound that you can always go back to and remember. Anyway, I hope that your week has been great, and this is Palm Sunday, so I hope you had an amazing Palm Sunday at church this day. And if you did not go to church, or if you don't go to church, it's my desire that you will be able to find a church. I even pray now, within the next week, I pray that you will find a church home for yourself. And I pray that it will be the right place that God wants you to be, and that you will flourish and you will grow and you will mature into the deepness of who God has called you to be, okay? So today, all this week I've been smelling cigarettes. I don't smoke. I've never smoked in my life. But I've been smelling cigarette in the realm of the spirit. And I know whenever I smell that, it means that God wants to free people from addiction. My arm is on fire right now because He does. He wants to deliver people from addictions. And so all throughout the week, I've been smelling every single day. Since Monday, I've been smelling it. Occasionally, I'll smell it. Normally, when I'm doing deliverance on somebody, or when I pass by someone and I smell cigarette, it means that God is telling me that person has a certain addiction that He wants to deliver them from. It might not be necessarily cigarette, but it's an addiction that they have. And so all week I've been smelling cigarettes, and I realized that God wants to do deliverance and healing. There's an anointing for deliverance for addiction. So if you're a church leader, you know, I pray that you would be able to hear the word of the Lord. And both of my hands is on fire right now because I really feel this is for church leaders. If you are a church leader or a ministry leader, I think this is a great time for you to really ask your congregation, anybody struggling with, you know, addictions of any kind, this is not a time for you to be shameful. Come to the altar, come to prayer at night, come and be set free. Because I really, normally I smell it within a couple times a day, if somebody has addiction. But it was all throughout the week, in different times I was smelling it. And so I know God really desires to do deliverance. How did God confirm it today to me? Well, I'm gonna tell you. God confirmed it today. It's around 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. And I've not really eaten anything until right now. I ate a banana during lunchtime, but that was it. And I was like, okay, let me park and just eat. I went to this place, this church, and God led me. He said, I want you to go and park at this church. I've never been to the church before, but I pass by it sometimes. And God has me praying for this church sometimes. I've gone there to just pray for the church. Prophetically just pray. I've never stepped in there. I don't know what type of church it is. But God has given me, sometimes He's given me the burden to just pray for that church. I'm not going to go into what I'll pray for because that's between me and the Lord. The church does not know me. I've never been to their service. I've never even stepped a foot in the church. But sometimes God would take me there to just, you know, sit and just pray at that specific church. And no, the church is not near my house at all. But, you know, if you're a leader of a ministry or a church, know that God has people that you might not even know that are praying for your church or praying for your ministry. God knows how to put burdens on people for you, you know. So I'm at this church and I'm just sitting there and I'm eating. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm listening to worship, but I'm just sitting there. And then comes this car, and this dude comes out, and then he goes and sit on the ground near one of the parking spots. And I see him take something out, and he's like, you know, meshing something together. So I was like, okay, I know exactly what he's doing right now. I'm discerning. I'm like, okay, he's about to make a he's about to smoke something. He's about to snort something or smoke something. I was like, oh Lord, not at the church. I mean, come on, anywhere but their church. But you know what? God is married to the backslider, the word of God says. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at him. He doesn't know I'm looking at him because he thinks the car has nobody in it. So I'm looking at him. And then as I'm looking at him, I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And as I'm talking to the Lord, he looks right at me. And he sees that somebody's in the car. And so what does he do? He gets up and he goes to a different part of the church. But I can still see him sitting there, meshing his stuff. So I'm like, Lord, I know you've been telling me about addiction all week. And here is somebody who is literally about to get high right in front of me in your church ground, in the church, not in the church, but like on the church property. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I rolled down my glass and I said, hey, Jesus loves you. Do you know that? He's like, I know. That's true. I know that. And I'm like, you know, you're a son of God. He's like, yeah, I know that. And I'm like, all right, so you know you don't need that in your hand. He's like, I have a license to carry. I have a license to carry. I was like, okay, Lord, I need you to give me the word to tell this man. And then eventually I was talking to him. And then I asked him his name. And he said his name is Quan. And he was telling me, he knows more about the Holy Spirit than I do, and he knows more about God than I do, and all of that. And the Lord led me to tell him that if he drops, oh my God, my hand is so on fire right now. If he drops that weed in the trash right now, that he's going to take the taste of drugs out of him completely. You know what he said? He said this. He said that God doesn't work like that. Your Christians need to know that God doesn't work like that. Just because I throw something, and I knew it wasn't him that's talking. It's not obviously the spirit of addiction that's talking. And so I started to bind, you know, those spirits in my head. I'm like, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind that demon, blah, blah, blah. I started to, you know, do prophetic warfare prayers to help, to basically bind the demon so that he's able to receive and respond to what God is saying through to him. And as I was talking, God was revealing to me that I should tell him to read Psalms 23. And I was ministering to him and prophetically talking to him, and God was like, he's a pastor. I'm like, you know you're a pastor, right? He's like, yeah, God is working on me. God, I need God to take his time with me. I still have addictions, you know. And I was talking to him, but I felt that if he just dropped my sotore matayana, if he just dropped that weed, that one jot of weed, that one string, one little weed that he was still, you know, licking the weed and making it in front of me as I'm talking to him. I've never seen anybody put weed together in front of me in my life. But I know why God led me back to that church to just sit there and wait, because I was waiting for him. And I told him, and he's like, what are you doing here? Nobody's here. I'm like, because God sent me here for you. And he's like, oh, please. And I'm like, no, he sent me here for you. I'm here for you. And I kept telling him, if you drop this weed in the trash right now, I kid you not, I promise you, that taste in your mouth is going to leave. You will not feel a need to even pick up a weed ever. Your addictions will go. Will leave completely. And I told him, there are angels here right now waiting for you to do this, to help you. And he was just like, oh, y'all Christians, blah, blah, blah. And I believe he's been church hurt, you know. So I was like, Lord, if only he dropped it in the trash. If only. Because I've been smelling cigarettes all week. And I know for a fact, God had me there waiting for him to just minister to him. And he told me to read the book of Revelations because we are in the Revelation times. And I'm like, this prophetic pastor right now, God wanted to just snatch you out of addiction. And you know what I learned I already knew this, but I relearned something today. That you can't force addiction. You can't force addiction freedom on anybody. You can't force freedom deliverance on anyone. They have to want it. They have to want it so bad. Like how you want air when you're drowning in a pool. They have to want it. And if I, you know, cast a demon out and he's not ready, more worse demons are going to enter him. He's going to be worse than he is right now. But one thing he said is like, I know that God is working on me. And God has to be patient with me. Because he has certain addictions. And I was so glad that he said that. Because that means that he acknowledged that he has that. And that he knows that God can deliver him. But he has to be ready for God to do that. God is, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself. He doesn't approach so, you know, very forcefully. He's very keen, very gentle. And it makes me sad because I really know for a fact, I know in my being, in all of me, that if that man of God just dropped that weed in the church trash, there was a trash can right there, he could have just went up there and dropped it, that addiction will poof leave him, that he will have no desire for that anymore. And I pray that I was able to plant a seed in him, just to give him those words to. And God told me to tell him to read, Psalms 23. And I told him, read Psalms 23. And he told me, read Revelations. And I think the thing is that he doesn't know he was even prophesying to me by saying, read Revelations. Because the word revelation is very important to me, personally. Revelation, that word, is extremely important to me in so many ways. And I was telling him, you are a pastor. I was just releasing. I was saying, you are a pastor. You are a pastor. Don't forget that you are a son of God. And you are so precious to him. You are loved. You're cared for. He cares about you so much that he has me here at 9 p.m. waiting for you. Because I was sitting there, you know. Because when you're a prophet, God will send you somewhere for no reason. And he'd be like, just wait. And I was sitting there waiting. I'm like, okay, Lord. Just start eating then. And then here he comes. He gets dropped off right there. Just when I've been smelling cigarette all week, about addictions all week. So if you're somebody, his name is Kwan, and if you listen to this, I want you to pray for Kwan. Please help me pray for Kwan, because I really believe that this is a pivotal moment for him. This is a day of shifting for him. That one joint that he's smoking will be the last one today that he will ever smoke. Father, I bring Kwan in your hand, and anybody that's listening or knows somebody as a point of contact who is addicted to anything, Father, I ask you that as a point of contact today, March 24, 2024, let it be written in the book in heaven that today is a day that those that are struggling, including Kwan, with addiction will be delivered right now. Father, I ask you to release your holy angels to Kwan and to anyone that is addicted to anything. Father, I pray that, Lord, le koraman doreman zedebataya, let the addiction move out of their body, out of their tongue, out of their nose, out of their teeth, oh God, out of their esophagus, out of their ears, Father. Le koraman dore iskarabazataya, let the addiction come out of their belly. Father, I ask the Lord, Yekora manda iskarabaza, de iramando ore iamatore iskarabazoto. Let the blood of Jesus do a work in their blood, our Father. I ask you to recalibrate their body again, recalibrate their body to a way that it will be a functioning how you called it to function in the name of Jesus. Yeah, And even those things that have happened in their childhood, even in the teens, God, even with Kwan in his teens, God, that has caused an opening door, those that were sent into his life to cause an open door, God, into addiction. Oh, Father, I ask you to snatch your son back out of that assignment of the enemy. Father, I ask you for an awakening in him. Let a shaking come upon this man of God and everyone that is addicted, Father. I ask you for a visitation tonight, Father, in dreams and vision. Open his eye gates even now. Open his mind even now. Oh God, arise the Samuel anointing in him, Father, that he will be able to hear you call his name, oh Adonai. I ask that, Lord, de kura mandara asataya, le beture mendere ema ora asoto, de kure beture mandi inema ado ore ikarabazotora mandara basataya. Break the heavens, God. Break the heavens open, Father, and release that anointing to sever every addiction spirit off of anyone, including Kwan, Father, that has any type of addiction, even small addiction, addictions from years past, addictions in the now, addictions that have been many years, even addictions that have been current, Father, and even addictions that have not been long, even those that have backslid into addiction. Oh God, I pray for a renewing, Father. I pray for a renewing, God. I pray every komatede mazde bataya. I pray for every new and Father, I ask you to release your fire upon them. Yes, release this fire that I feel in my hand upon Kwan and upon anyone, Father, that is addicted to anything, God. I command that fire to come upon them from their head to their toes, even in their belly. Masure mendo ore eskataya. Let the breaker Jesus Christ go before them. Let the breaker Jesus Christ go before them. Oh Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Remian itore mando oskora mataya. That you will go before them, Father, and release your anointing that breaks the yoke. Yes, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. I command every yoke to be broken, to be shattered now. In the name of Jesus, I command it to break now. Break, break, break. Break in the name of Jesus. Break off of their feet. I see shackles in the feet of people that are addicted. I command the unloosing of that shackle even now. Jesus Christ has the key to that shackle, and I command that shackle to open in the name of Jesus. I loose you. I loose you from that addictive spirit. I loose your mind from an addictive spirit. I loose your body from an addictive spirit. Oh yes. I loose your steps that are ordered by the Lord from that addictive spirit. Many of you, some of you have not been able to move forward because of addiction. Addiction have caused you not to be able to possess. Addiction have caused you not to be able to have all that God has called you to have. But today, it ends today. It ends in March 24, 2024 today. Today, it ends. Come on, say it with me. Today, it ends. Today, the addiction ends in the name of Jesus. It ends by the power of the Lord Jesus. It ends by the name of Jesus Christ. It ends by the blood of Jesus Christ. We sever it with the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I speak healing right now upon these people, Father, and even in Kwan. Oh God, I thank you for the angels that you release upon this man of God. That he will hear Bakuma te era anamasoto. Remandu remanzekariataya. That he will rise up, Father, as he reads Psalm 23. God, I ask you to impart upon him even now the anointing that you called him to have, that I was feeling, Father, upon him even now, that he will start to open his Bible more and read it more. Lebesuramanta da iskataya. That he will be able to step into that prophetic pastoral anointing over his life and even over his future children. Oh God, I thank you for those that you're called to be evangelists even now, that will come out of addiction and go forth and win the souls back to you, because they have an Isaiah 61 anointing to see the prison gates open. Yes, indeed, to bring those that are in the captive, Father, to your throne, to set the captives free, Father. And so I thank you right now, even those that are addicted to cocaine, I command that spirit to come out of you now. Every cocaine spirit, I command you to come out now in the name of Jesus, out of that person. In the name of Jesus, every weed spirit, I command you to loose that person now. I command you to loose that person now. In the name of Jesus, every cigarette, every there is a cigarette addiction. I call you to come out now. Loose that person. Go down in the name of Jesus. Every addictive to alcoholism, I call you to come out now. Every addiction to food, I call you, oh yes, gluttony, I call you to come out now, out of that person now. Yawn it out, burp it out, cough it out, sneeze it out. Masoto ramandere eskataya. I command all addiction spirits hiding in anybody, I call you out now, out of their feet, out of their nose, out of their mouth, out of their fingernails. Out of their nose, out of their mouth, out of their teeth, out of their lips, yes. Out of their skin. Oh God, I pray that you kure etire mando oramandara asataya. Release your angels with force, God, with flames of fire, to see the captive free, God, to see the captive free, masekataya, to see the captive free. Oh Adonai, we want to see them free. We want to see them free, Father. And so I thank you, Lord. I feel this fire so heavily upon me. So, Father, I release it upon anyone, especially Quan, Lord, your son, your anointed son, Father, that he will be delivered. And everyone that is struggling with addiction is delivered. In every area that these demons have left, I ask you, Father, to seal those areas with the blood of Jesus. I ask that, Lord, you will fill it with your Holy Spirit completely. Let them be whole in that place. I command every door that was open to the enemy inside of them to be shut now with the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. I still feel the fire in my hand, and so I release it upon your nation. I release it upon your people, God. Anyone that is listening today, even other days in the future, let the same fire that I'm feeling fall upon you now and heal you completely. That every paraphernalia of drugs, of alcoholism, of addiction you have, you will throw it in the trash. Do that prophetic act right now. Throw it in the trash, daughter. Throw it in the trash, son. Throw it in the trash, says the Lord. Throw it in the trash, and you will see that your healing and your deliverance is sealed. That you will not have an appetite for it anymore. No, you won't. You are broken out. I see breaking out of the breaking gate. The Lord has broken you out of the gates that have entangled you. The Bible says that let go of anything that easily entangles you. This has been easily entangling you, and this is the day. 3/24/24 is the day that you are letting it loose off of you. You're letting it go. You're dropping it down. I hear the chains dropping even now. I hear the chains dropping even now. I hear the chains breaking even now. I hear freedom even now for you. Yes, the chains are breaking even now. I hear it. I hear it falling to the ground. Oh God, we thank you for chains that have fallen to the ground. Chains that have fallen to the ground. We thank you, oh Adonai. We thank you, Jehovah Rapha, the healer that has been in the room, the great physician. We thank you for being a surgeon, God, upon your people today. That you will heal the impact that rose up this addiction. The place that they were hurt. The place that they felt alone. The place that they felt neglected. The place that they felt unseen. Oh God, that opened up that door of addiction. Father, I ask you to release your fire upon those places. And healing, completely healing upon those places. That they will not desire to fill their void, God, with anything but you, oh God. And so I decree and declare Psalms 23 over them, Lord, that they are indeed your children, that you are indeed the shepherd. And so I seal this moment, Father, with the blood of Jesus Christ. We do pray. Amen.
If we ever need Oh!
So I hope that you were blessed today with this prayer. One thing I wanted to also share is this prophetic thing that God was leading me to share concerning certain nations that He's called me to pray for. This week, I did evangelism ministry at my church for the first time. And it was amazing. I love evangelizing to people. I enjoy that. Meshing evangelism and prophetic. It was just amazing. We were just prophesying, praying for people. It was beautiful to just see the change in mood and emotions on people. It felt like when Jesus fed the 5,000, it felt like that. But it wasn't like a lot of people that we were feeding, but we were feeding them spiritually, you know. And some of them needed it, you know. Sometimes one of the people that I served, she just hugged the person, and you could tell the person needed that hug. You know, there is a ministry of hugging, right? Sometimes you don't have to say anything, just look at the person like, I see you, or you know, I love you, I hug you, right? But it was a blessing to do that. Wants me to prophesy concerning these nations, and these nations are India. So I was praying, doing my prayer watch in the morning. God was talking to me about India, and He was showing me, I was discerning around the spirit about some type of attack. I'm a prophet that sees bad things and good things. Most of the time I see some really bad things when it comes to the nations, and I warn before it happens. So He was showing me India, and India, we all know India has, you know, idols and gods and all of that. But I remember years ago I had a dream where I saw Indians literally taking their idols and putting it in the ocean. I saw them taking their idols out of their homes and putting it in the ocean. They were discarding their idols. So there's going to be a time where Indians are going to discard their idols and look to the one true God, Jesus Christ the Messiah. Okay? There's an emergence of street evangelism, street crusades in India. It's starting even now in the realm of the spirit, but it's going to happen in the natural. How many years? I see the number 5. So I believe it's going to happen in 5 years. But this is the time where we can pray, because if God can win a nation that is so involved, engulfed in their DNA of worshiping idols, He can win any nation, right? Australia is one of the nations that God leads me to pray about a lot. Like Australia, Australia, Australia. I talk about Australia all the time. I've never met anybody from Australia yet. I did talk to somebody from Sweden this week, but I've not yet met somebody from Australia, and I cannot wait to hug the people from these nations. You don't understand, like when God leads you to pray for a nation, you feel like you belong in that nation. Like you when you carry burdens for nations, it's like your baby. I don't know how to say it. It's like your project. It's like something that's dear to your heart, okay? So Australia, there's an awakening of intercessors, an evangelical movement with fire. Australia has a mantle of worship. Australians have a mantle of worship. They are called to raise up prophetic worship that will go into different nations. They are called to sound the alarm for worship. They are called to be the forerunners of worship. I don't know if many people know this, but they have a footprint of worship in their nation. There is such a mantle of worship upon Australia that there are a lot of worshipers in that region, in that nation. And I believe that there's coming a time where you're going to see many Australians really worship. There's such a... God has given Australians the ability to sing, like with anointing. Not just sing, but to sing with anointing. There is a woman in Hillsong or Elevation. She sang the song... Oh gosh, I think her name started with a T. But I first went to a Hillsong. Yeah, it was a Hillsong worship. Years ago, 2015, I went to a Hillsong worship experience. and she sang, and when she sang, it was just such an anointing. I think that was the time that I started to pray for Australia, and I realized, oh my gosh, she's singing from her nation. She's like representing her nation. So there's this awakening of intercessors, evangelical movement, and even worship movement that God wanna drop like a bomb, like a wind in Australia. USA, God is releasing healing for addiction. Like I said, I've been smelling cigarette all week. Not until Friday it stopped when I finally posted this. Yesterday. When I finally posted this, and then it stopped. And of Zimbabwe, God is healing and opening wombs of women to birth their Samuels in the season. God is opening wombs to birth their Samuels. Some of you, your Samuels are literally ideas that God has called you to birth. Some of you, it's not ideas, it's actual children. So you have to go before the Lord and seek His face for what it is. And you probably already know that. You probably already know that. So those are the things that God is doing in this season. And I hope that you have been encouraged and you have been feeling the grace of the Lord upon you. That you have been known that He is your Father. That He's close to the brokenhearted and He's close to you in all your ways. And that the living water will keep on flowing and overflowing in you. And keep on praying for Zimbabwe and England against plane crash and earthquake, okay? Let's keep on praying for that, because God is doing a work in these two nations as well. And also, pray for your children. Okay, let's pray for your kids, little kids, your children. It's good to just lay hands upon them as they go to school, daycare, wherever they go to, okay? Even if they're homeschooled, still lay hands on them and pray for them. Let them lead in prayer. Today, as I was teaching the kids, one of the kids, he's never said this to me ever in my life. He's such an encourager. Like, this today is the day that I realized, oh my gosh, he has an encouraging spirit. He came up to me and he was like, "You look beautiful today. You are very beautiful." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And all the teachers were like, "Oh." I know for a fact, when these kids talk to me, I know God is talking to them through them to me. God uses them to just minister to me, to just talk to me. So I'm always, every time I go, I pray over the place, and I'm open to what they're going to say, because their words are straight from the mouth of God. And so I want you to, if you're a parent, really, I see the word digest. Really digest what God wants to do in your kids. And figure out what kind of gift they have that you can cultivate in this season. Because after he said, you know, "You're beautiful," to me, I heard him talk to another kid and encourage the kid. And I think he said, you're smart," or you're something positive to the child. And I realized that his encouraging gift was activated by him telling me that I'm beautiful, that I look very beautiful today. So if you're a parent, there are gifts that might be dormant in your child that God want to activate even now. They don't have to be older now. You don't have to be older to have it, you know, activated. But they have to be at a point where you believe that they can receive what it is that God wants them to release or use in this moment, in this season. All right, so it's good to just literally let your kids start to move in the gift that God has given them. In the gift that God has given them, because when they're moving it, they are going to be really confident in moving it more as they grow. You know, it's like the parable of the talents, right? My hand is on fire. If you don't use it, you don't get more. Right? So let's I don't have kids yet, but when I do in the future, I'm learning. I'm learning from these kids. They're teaching me so much. I'm like, wow. The amount of words that come out of their mouth, like, I'm just like, whoa, God literally speak through these little kids. They don't even know it, you know? They don't even know that they're ministering, you know? That's what's so beautiful about it, is that they're so childlike faith, you know? It makes you just think like, man, I need to be in that position with the Lord in such a way that He just speak through me like that, exactly what that person needs. And that's why He wants us to, you know, if you're a parent, He wants you to cultivate that, those gifts. My left hand is on fire because it does. He wants you to cultivate those gifts in your children, in your daughters and in your sons, so that they are able to really be so confident, you know, not in themselves, but in the fact that when they grow up to a certain age, they'll not double think like, oh, is this God or is this not God, you know? So if you're a parent, this is a good time for you to just ask the Lord, just seek the Lord on the behalf of your kids. And just what I see He's showing me is like you sitting down with a pen and paper, just putting your child's name on the top and saying, what have you planned for this child? What is the purpose of this child? I love, there's this church in Virginia that they literally prophesy to the children when they dedicate their children to God. They prophesy their purpose. They prophesy what God is going to do upon their life. And I remember one time I was watching it, and before the child came, I started to prophesy to the child as I was watching, you know, the service. And literally the thing that the pastor, the prophet and the apostle said was what God was showing me. So if God can show me somebody's child's purpose, He can show you as their parent, right? He can show you because He gave them to you, right? So He will show you. You don't have to be a prophet. He will show you if you ask Him. So Father, I just ask for that boldness upon your sons and your daughters that are parent even now, that they will be able to sit before you confidently and humbly and patiently for you to speak to them on the behalf of your children that you've blessed them to have, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Alright, so thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope that you were blessed. This was a short time. I just met Kwan and I felt led to just talk about Kwan and just release what God is doing. And I believe that, I pray that there has been a breaking, there has been something that has been released out of your life because of your obedience. You just throw away that drug paraphernalia, that item that you have in your cabinet, in your purse, under your bed, in your fridge. Throw it away and let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. So Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your visitation. Thank you for your love. Okay, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you for your destiny. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I go, the Lord just reminded me of the word Moses. As I was going to church today, and I was thinking about why God has me in certain places that He has me in, and He started to talk to me about Moses. You know, how Moses was chosen to basically endure some things and then set people free. And then I went to church, and in the other class that I was helping out with to teach the kids, I didn't get the lesson before I went to that specific class because they don't send the lesson beforehand for that class. When I got there, we were asked to teach the kids about Moses. I laughed inside because I knew. I was like, God, you are so funny. He's like, Bernice, this is a season where Moses's are being sent to go and release the captives. Moses's are being sent to regions, to cities, to nations, to see the captives free. This is a season where Moses's are being given the staff. Because we know that Moses speak to God, mouth to mouth, right? Moses speak to God, mouth to mouth. This is the season where Moses is being released to do great and mighty things for the regions that they have been assigned to. So if Pharaoh doesn't want to let his people go, in whatever way that you get this revelation. Now, when I say Pharaoh doesn't want the people to go, there could be so many obstacles and circumstances that are standing in your way that is causing you not to be able to free the place that you're sent to or help the place that you're sent to. There could be so many different pharaohs. Pharaoh is not just a person. Okay, Pharaoh could be financial issues. Pharaoh can be territorial issues. Pharaoh can be, you know, warfare in the heavenlies, meaning, you know, what do you call it? Help me, Holy Spirit. Principalities. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Principalities. You know, Pharaoh could be the relationships in your life currently that are causing you not to be able to possess or causing you not to be able to be fully who God called you to be. You know, Pharaoh sometimes could be your own family. But, you know, we don't want that. But hey, because in a way, Pharaoh was Moses' family, right? Pharaoh was like a stepfather or a step-grandfather to Moses in a way, right? Because his daughter took him as, you know, her own son. So in a way, Pharaoh was like a grandfather to Moses, right? So Pharaoh is not always a person. Pharaoh can be a thing, a place, a person, sometimes a person. Okay, that is causing you not to be able to bring deliverance, bring healing into the place that God has called you to be, okay? So when God showed me that, I was like, okay, now I understand why you have me in a certain place that you have me in. And sometimes when you are doing something for the Lord and it feels like a string, like you're a string being pulled on every side, it's good to just sit and say, God, who am I? Or what is this situation specifically? You know, it might not apply to every part of your life, but why do you have me here? Why do you have me going to this place? You know, I want to be here, or I want to do this. I want to, you know, or why am I doing this specific thing for this week or next week? You know, it's good to ask the Lord, because he will always confirm it. He's like, you know, let's look at Moses for a minute. Let's look at Moses for a minute. And the funny thing is that the most so profound prophetic thing is today, I met a kid who stuttered, who had difficulty saying certain words today. And I kid you not, I thought about Moses before I saw that Moses curriculum. I was like, this kid reminds me of Moses. And then I go to the other class and I'm like, we are teaching. And they're like, oh, we are learning about Moses. And I'm like, oh God, you're so funny. You know, God has a sense of humor. I don't know if many of you know, he does. He has such a great sense of humor that is just ridiculous. I remember the first time, I don't know, I'm going to share this moment with the Lord that was funny. And I pray that, I think it's going to minister to somebody. It's going to really activate you to go forth and do what God is calling you to do. But anyway, I went to this church years ago, and I was sent to this church because when I left, they started to pray the Holy Spirit to come in into the place. They were a very religious church, very religious, and they did not want the Holy Spirit to do anything in there. Only talk about Jesus and God, and that was it. And the Lord led me to meet with the pastor, and there was conviction. I didn't have to say much. Conviction came in the room, and then they started to really pray and speak the name of the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, you know, they really allowed the Holy Spirit to come in the place. And that was a blessing for me. And I was like, okay, God, I'm done now. All right, I can move on now. You know, when your assignment is done, you're like, whew, okay. It's all good. And then the Lord told me to tell them to, you know, start a prayer ministry and an evangelical ministry in your church. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy. that I was able to release that to them, you know. I love seeing churches mature and like grow into what God is calling them to go, you know, to step into the next that God wants them. It's like you see the finish line, but they don't see it yet. And you're like, come, keep coming, keep doing it. And then they finally step and they're like, yes, awesome, I'm so happy. But anyway, so in this church, as I was there, there was a girl that was blind. She was going blind. And I remember, oh God, I want to cry. I remember, my hand is on fire again. I remember meeting his dad. And I went over and I shared some of my testimony that I've never shared with anybody concerning certain things that God really helped me with. And I told him, God, you know, did this for me, did that for me, did that for me. And that really encouraged him. And so I started to pray for his daughter to have her eyes open. I was fasting and praying in my own private time. And then one day the Lord said, you need to go and literally lay hands on her eyes and pray for open eyes open, because he kept leading me to the Bible scriptures about how, you know, Jesus met the blind man or the blind beggar, and he kept leading me to that verse. Like literally, I'll open my Bible and go straight to it every single time. I'll open my Bible and go straight to it. I was like, Lord, and I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew he wanted me to go over there and lay hands. But the thing is, it was a church where you cannot lay hands. You cannot do miracles. You cannot do no deliverance, no healing. There was no healing, no deliverance. You know, God likes to take me to certain churches like that to basically be the one to just step in there and let his anointing just flow. But there was no, you can't heal, you can't pray, you know, come out in the name of Jesus. You cannot pray in the name of Jesus, be healed. No, you can't do any of that. So, and then people walking around with crutches on, you know, and me, I'm just like, oh God, I know you want to do so much here. Father, please. And he's like, I need you to go over there and lay hands on that child and pray for her. And so I'm like, Lord, if you want me to do it. I became Gideon. In that season, I was Gideon. Literally, I was Gideon. And the funny thing is, that year, the first person I met in January 1st of that year, the first person I talked to, his name was Gideon. So you know, God was like, Bernice, you have a you're Gideon this year. That's what he said. You're Gideon. And I talked to that person, and his name was Gideon. I was like, okay, Lord. So I'm like, Lord, if you want me to go and pray for this child, for this girl, and I knew that already, but I just wanted to get confirmation, because I honestly did not feel like I wanted to do that, because I've never laid hands to open anybody's eyes in my life. So it's not me that's doing it, it's God that's doing it through me, right? But I have to be a real vessel, right? So I go, and I'm like, Lord, I'm praying, I'm like sitting there, I'm like, Lord, if you want me to go and pray for this person, for this child, okay, for this little girl, let somebody, I posted something and I said, let somebody like what I just posted. I know it's silly. Literally within 2 minutes, somebody loved what I posted. And then I'm like, okay, God, I asked for another confirmation. I knew God wanted me to go and do that, but I've never done that before. I've never laid my... I've done a lot of healing for people. Prayed, you know, healing for the knee, healing for the leg, bones, and all of that. You know, pain healing. I've done those, you know, little healings, right? But this was major. I've never laid my hands on anybody's eyes and prayed healing over their eyes in my life. So this was huge. And especially in a church that is not prophetic, that does not welcome prophecy and deliverance and healing and laying of hands, it was a stretch for me. And so what do? I ask for confirmations, and God literally, like, confirmation after I didn't, it wasn't even 5 minutes, and boom, here's confirmation. Boom, I'm like, okay. And I was just sitting there laughing, because he was not playing. God was like, I'm not playing with you, girl. I ain't playing with you. I need you to go up in there and pray for this girl. Did her eyes open right when I prayed for her? No, but it started. Like, I remember I prayed, God, le kore mandara basoto. I prayed, I said, God, let your light shine in her eyes. And she looked toward the light. There was a part in the room that was light, and she looked right toward that light. So I knew God was doing, already started a healing inside. It was a gradual healing, because they're different healings, right? They're instant healing. Of course, people's eyes can open instantly, but they're, for eyes, what I've seen most of the time is gradual healing, that people will come back and say, oh my goodness, you know, my daughter's eyes open. Oh my goodness, my son's eyes open. It's a gradual healing, okay? So I knew God started it, and God showed me he had angels that were literally at her bedside doing continuous healing for her. And there was another thing about it that I'm not going to share, that she needed to be broken out of for that complete healing to take effect. Why am I sharing this? Because it was a hilarious moment between me and God, going back and forth. Literally, let the fleece be dry, let the floor be wet. I was being Gideon to the 100% Gideon with the Lord, because I was about to step into a place where deliverance, healing is not welcome, where you cannot, you know, pray healing over people's eyes or even prophesy to anybody in that church. But being somebody who goes and ruffle people's feathers, because I've gotten the confirmation and the okay from the Lord to go. No, I didn't go and, you know, disrupt or anything. But I went and I asked the mother, and I'm like, hey, because you know, the pastor was in the kids ministry, you know, doing pastor stuff. So his wife was there, and I said, hey, can I pray for your daughter? And she said, yeah. And then I prayed. I was sad that her eyes didn't open right there. And God told me this. It's not up to you to do it. You just obey and do your part, and I'll do the rest. He said, it's not up to you to do it. You just obey and do your part. He was activating me to be confident, not in myself, in him, to just step up and just heal somebody or pray healing for somebody. But the rest is up to him. All I needed to do was just touch in agreement. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna pray with you, God's gonna do the rest. I'm just gonna start the engine and he's gonna drive the car. Oh my gosh, when I just said that, a car just started. I don't know if you heard it in the background, but a car just started. I love these prophetic moments where God just does prophetic act around me when I'm preaching. Oh, Jesus. So that is the funny part of God. That moment of me being a Gideon and him being God. And like, I asked a question. I asked for confirmation. Bang. In a couple minutes, there you go. Get up and go. Oh, one more time. One more confirmation. Please, please. There you go. Here you go. Another one? What? Okay, here you go. So when you seek the Lord and you want a confirmation, he will give it to you. He will give you as many times as you need it, so that you obey, so that you are able to say, okay Lord, I will do it. I'll do what you're calling me to do, and I'll go where you're calling me to go. I'll do it for your glory. There was one last thing I wanted to share. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. There was one last thing I wanted to share today before I end the podcast. All right, so this morning I was praying. It's Monday. I recorded the other things yesterday after 9 p.m. when I met Kwan. But this morning, as I was going to work, on my rounds to work, I stopped somewhere and I was just praying and listening to prophetic songs. And I closed my eyes and I was just praying. And the school bus came in front of me and just sat there at the parking lot. And then the Lord said, I want you to pray for school. So I started praying for schools. I started to break any warfare, any shootings, bombs, bullying, fighting, any accident, I just started to pray, and I just prayed over USA concerning the school buses. And then the Lord was like, I want you to go over there and lay your hands on that school bus. So I got out and I went and laid my hands on the school bus, and I prayed and I plead the blood of Jesus over the school bus. And then as I was going back to my car, the Lord was saying, hey, release favor over the school bus. And I feel the anointing of the Lord even now. And so I released favor over that school bus, and then the school bus left. And as I was on my route to work, I kept seeing school bus after school bus and kids walking with their parent, with your mom, on the side of the road, and they're like literally in middle school or elementary school. And as I was praying before, you know, when that school bus came in front of me, the Lord showed me a vision of this little girl who's 5 years old, and Lord said, I want you to pray for elementary and middle school. And then I saw these kids, you know, holding your mom's hand going to school. So I believe that God wants us to really intercede for schools, for school buses, for children, for middle elementary school kids. I don't know what the enemy has planned, but we dismantle every shooting, we dismantle every bombing in the name of Jesus. A school bus just passed right now as I'm talking. We dismantle every assignment of the enemy concerning children. Even now, God, I pray that you release angels to these schools, Lord. Anyone that is trying to bomb or cause a shooting, a bullying, fighting, an accident, we rebuke it, dismantle it now in Texas, in Maryland, even in Canada, in USA, in Nebraska, in South Carolina, in Utah, Father. In California, from California to Texas to Mississippi to up north to New York, God, we pray a shield. Jehovah needs to be a shield of protection over your children in this season, in this time, today, this week, Lord. Cover them, Father. Release your anointed angels, Father, to go and shield them. Because these kids have angels. So, Father, release them even now. And we pray, we seal it with the blood of Jesus. I pray, amen. So, please, 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 please pray for these kids. Because I see these things for reasons God lead me. I don't ever see school buses. I don't see them. Maybe I don't look at it, but today I've seen like 10 of them on my route. So I know God has the children on his heart. And right now another school bus is passing by. So God has the kids in his heart for us to pray for. If you don't know what to say, just pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit will pray through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I hope you have a great day. Please share this, like it, subscribe.